the election. The Holy Spirit spoke this word to me, and I've been excited to preach it to our body. I hope that it comes out right. You know, we're always looking for how we, as the Lord's church, can shine in a dark world, right? Do you know you have so many opportunities to stand out? You are so blessed. You are so blessed. You have so many opportunities as a child of God to be different than the world, to be a light in darkness. That is such a blessing. And when a nation or a people goes through a dark season, one of the blessings of it, I don't like dark seasons, I don't like turbulent times, but one of the benefits of going through darker seasons is that the body of Christ gets to really stand out. Seriously. Because the darker the darkness, the more that brilliant light just, whoa, wow, right? So we're always looking for opportunities as the Lord's church that we could shine in a dark world. And it was striking me through this election process, and then since the election was over, how we have a special opportunity at this moment to step into the role of a peacemaker. You know, Matthew 5:9, this is a Sermon on the Mount. It's like where Jesus is giving us the constitution of the kingdom of God. These are the most important things. This is how my kingdom should be running. And he starts out by giving us a few beatitudes, we call them. This is, you'll be blessed if you do this. You'll be blessed if you do that. You'll be, you know, it's this little list of characteristics and attributes that we need to operate in to be called blessed. And Matthew 5:9, lo and behold, says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And it was like right after the election, things got as if they couldn't have got more crazy, as through the election was rather insane, really. I mean, it was like kind of the craziest election year in my 40 years. Definitely. You know, all of a sudden one day you're like, who is going to be our candidates? Alrighty then. I mean, and it was a lot of drama and a lot of, you know, the news reporters were having so much fun. I think this election was the funnest year ever. That's another positive. Media was having a lot of fun, you know? They were having a great time making lots of news, lots of things to make news over. Well, after the election, and there was the protesting started, and, you know, the colleges were shutting down classes so students could have cry rooms, and whatever your opinion is on that, we're going to be peacemakers. We'll just skip on that and keep going. We were praying one day, and I just, this term came into my spirit. Lord, would you make your people a catalyst of peace in this moment? A catalyst of peace and reconciliation to a very broken and very divided nation. Who basically, quite frankly, we need a Gandhi to rise up. You know, not that, you know, Gandhi brought like peace to India in a really turbulent time. We need some anointed Christian peacemakers to rise up. No compromising on truth, but are anointed to be mediators, anointed to be peacemakers. And so no matter what your political slant is, I just kind of feel like it's time for the church to step into this anointing of bringing peace. Okay, this scripture, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You know, each one of those beatitudes, it says blessed are, is something, and then you will be called this, or you will inherit this, or there's always like, do this, you'll get this, do this, you'll be called this. You know, that's how the beatitudes work. It's like, this is what I want you to be, and this is what will result if you will be this, you know? So it's interesting, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. And there's two different meanings for this word children. One of them is meaning, obviously, a biological child. Like if you say, Malachi is a child of Adam and Jeff Mann. He's a biological child. But the other meaning of this word that the Holy Spirit was communicating is this. Children also means you look like or reflect the characteristics of someone else. So Literally what Jesus is saying is, blessed are you when you step into the role of a peacemaker because you look just like me. In that moment, you look just like your Father in heaven. Do you know your Father in heaven is the ultimate peacemaker? Oh my goodness. The whole world, all humanity was an enemy of God. And the Father sent his Son Jesus to make peace. Wow. The entire world was at war with God. Their sin stood, like they flaunted their sin in his face. There was nothing to cover their sin. There was nothing they could do to become a friend of God, really. And he said, I'm going to make peace with mankind. And literally he sent Jesus Christ. Romans 5:10 says, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Literally, we were made friends of God through what Jesus did, when we accept what he did. Isaiah 53:5 talks about what Christ did. It says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He, Jesus, was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. Do you see what a peacemaker he is? And by his wounds we are healed. Without ever compromising truth, did God dole down his holiness to become a peacemaker? No way. Did he start winking at our sin? Is that how he made peace with us? By compromising truth in any way? No. He, in all of his glory, in all of his holiness, without compromising any of himself or any bit of truth, he became a peacemaker so that we could, through repentance, receive his Holy Spirit and become friends with God instead of enemies. And see, the essence of a peacemaker now is that there's this anointing with to not compromise truth one single bit, but yet be anointed to bring peace to those around us. There's really two main ways that we operate as peacemakers in this world. Number one is we operate as spiritual peacemakers and relational peacemakers. Now, spiritual peacemakers are when you share the gospel, when you evangelize, you are literally giving people an opportunity to make peace with God. Just what we talked about. That is the ultimate peacemaker. I wish Jesse was here. He would be cheering right now. Jesse Kotz, our evangelist. But when you preach the gospel, you are offering people peace. You can come into peace with the Lord. The second way the Lord uses us as peacemakers is to bring relational peace. Ministry of relational peace. This is living a life that brings peace into the relationships around us. This is what I'm going to talk about the majority of today. Now, I want to clarify something right away. I want to break a little delusion. Not everybody's going to like you. Ever. Being a peacemaker, as laid out by God, is not the same as being a people pleaser. And it's not about running a popularity contest. Oh my. Guys, when I was younger, this was so difficult for me. I mean, I would find out someone disliked me and I was almost in disbelief. Like, why would they not like me? I mean, it was just shock. I remembered shock after shock through my teenage years and even through my lower 20s. As I was trying to get a grip on it more and more because reality was hitting me more and more as you live your life. Some people just aren't going to like you because of the shirt you wear, your haircut. They're not going to like you because somebody else likes you. They're not going to like you. I mean, there's 100 reasons why people are not going to like you. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give you some freedom right now. Not everybody's going to like you. That is okay. Just make it okay with yourself. Just ever say, I'm okay. Then not everybody likes me. And I can still be a peacemaker. Because peacemaker's not a popularity contest. Very good. Thank you for repeating all of that, Chad. Woo! Chad has no problems with this. He's completely secure anyway, with people not liking him. Whatever.
Are there people that do like him?
Oh, my goodness. Actually, and before I get into this part about being a peacemaker, I just want to establish this. Not everybody is going to like you. And actually, Matthew 10 is like the whole chapter. If I don't have it on your notes because it's long, I just encourage you just to jot it down. Matthew 10, the whole chapter is dedicated to how Jesus telling his disciples, in this world, you're going to have troubles and you're going to have tribulation and you're going to have a lot of people that hate you. It's encouraging. Matthew 10 was very encouraging. It says, in this world, you're going to be hated, you're going to be persecuted, there's going to be jealousies, there's going to be envy and slander against you because you follow me. And he says, you know, are students better than the teachers? And he says, look what they're doing to me. And he's even prophesying about the death he's going to suffer. And he's like, you know, it's going to happen. People are not always going to like you. But the problem is sometimes that the reason why we don't have peace around our life isn't necessarily because of the gospel of Christ, but I call it self-inflicted wounds, you know, where you shoot your own relationships in the foot and then try to say, devil, get away from me in Jesus' name, you know, and you're shooting yourself self-inflicted wounds because we don't know how to do life with other people. We don't know how to do life with people we disagree with. We can't be respectful to those that we don't agree with all the time. And so I want us to talk today about stepping into this role of peacemaker. I also want to tell you, I mentioned this, that a peacemaker is not the same as a people pleaser. I have heard many people who are operating in a people-pleasing spirit and really in bondage to people-pleasing say, well, the Lord says to live at peace. Well, peace can't be our ultimate goal because you won't always have it, right? Yep. To honor Christ and to walk in love, that's our ultimate goal. Yep. And so I'm just going to give you 12 quick characteristics of perpetual people pleasers. Now, you'd be impressed if all these 12 points started with P, but they don't. So, but I want us to do this first so that we can identify this is not a peacemaker. This is a people pleaser, okay? And you might see yourself. Actually, when I read through these, I giggled because I was like, whoa, was that me at like age 18? Like every single one of these. I had to fix the world. Okay, number one. People pleasers, and this is not peacemakers, these are people pleasers, automatically say yes when they want to really say no. But they just feel like they can't say no, because then they wouldn't be pleasing you, right? Number two, they experience exhaustion from trying to be perfect. Number three, people pleasers strive heroically to please strangers while often neglecting the ones they love most. Number four, people pleasers experience constant fear of being rejected by others. A people pleaser says, I'm sorry, when there's really nothing to apologize for. Number six, people pleasers believe other people's happiness is their responsibility. It's not. You can't make anyone happy. You can't do it. That's too heavy a burden. People have to get their happiness from Jesus. Number seven, a people pleaser chooses to be nice over being real, being transparent. This goes along with that. They bury their true desires and their true feelings, afraid of being rejected, afraid of not pleasing someone. Number nine, a people pleasers often defend other unhappy, self-centered, and controlling people so they can feel better about themselves. I don't want you to feel bad about yourself, even though you're being self-centered and manipulative and controlling. I'll defend you so that you can feel better about yourself. Sometimes people just need to feel kind of bad about themselves so they can change. You know, sometimes you see a step back and go, I know that's not feeling good right now, but I don't think I should rescue you from yourself. Number 10, people pleasers replay conversations and events, imagining how things would be differently if I did this or if I said that or if the other person did this or if the other person, replaying the conversations over and over again. You might be a people pleaser, number 12, if you feel shame when you perceive for what you perceive as a failure to make other people happy. Oh, I said no, they're unhappy. I feel so much shame and guilt right now. Okay. So people pleasers, in a nutshell, are motivated by fear. But a peacemaker is motivated by love. I will intervene right now, and I will say this not because I'm afraid, because I love you, and this would be what's best for right now. Sometimes there's a little bit of fear in saying that still. Means, you know, I hope this goes over well, right? But still, your motivation is love, not fear. People pleasers feel they must say what the other person wants to hear so that they will like them. But a peacemaker knows they must speak God's wisdom even if it's difficult. Because God's wisdom is what brings blessing, right? A people pleaser is thinking about someone's making someone happy immediately. But a peacemaker is thinking about what needs to happen for a long-term success of this relationship. One wants, I just don't want you to be mad at me at this second. The other one is thinking, what needs to happen for the long-term blessing? Okay. So that's a little bit difference between people pleasers and peacemakers. Let's read Romans 12. See, like I said before, not everyone's going to like you. However, what the scripture says is that we live at peace with people as far as it depends upon us. I think that's so much freedom in that. As far as it depends upon us, what we can be responsible for, what's our responsibility, we do. And we cannot be responsible for what other people do, right? This is Romans 12, verse 9 through 21. This is a beautiful picture of what it looks like to be a peacemaker. It's really talking about love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. A peacemaker is devoted to the person they're trying to make peace with. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Oh, you're going to be a good peacemaker if you can do this. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. I love this one. Verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. And he goes on, don't take revenge, my dear friends. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it's mine to revenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Okay, I'm going to pause right there. Oh, I'll go on. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When we are stepping into the role of a peacemaker, what we are saying is my relationships in my life are more valuable to me than my right to vent or my right to spout, my right to repeat things, my right to say things, to do things. The relationships in my life are more important than my personal rights, and I'm willing to lay them down. I'm going to talk about, just for a second, four different arenas of life that we can be peacemakers in. And the number one I'm going to talk about is I want us to think about how to be a peacemaker on social media. And I am so sorry for the six people in the room that don't have social media or the three people in the room. And just you know, now you can have something to tell your friends that do social media. But I want to talk about it for a little bit because I feel like social media is such a huge, amazing tool for us to use as a body of Christ. And it's also this thing that hurts people all the time. And so it's interesting. I really feel like the body of Christ could, I feel like there's room for us to step it up and to say, okay, what is wise for me to share on social media, Facebook, Twitter? How should I communicate? What is my platform here? And it's okay. It's okay to use your social media as a platform for truth. Absolutely. You don't have to just use it to share pictures of your kids like me. But you know what I mean? If you're like this, I'm going to use this as a tool to share the gospel. I'm going to use this as a tool to educate people about abortion and about the unborn. I mean, that is totally fine. But how do we do it? Okay? It's easier to spout off ugly things when it's just typed words on a screen than when it's face-to-face. And I often like to think that if I was face to face with someone, would I say the thing that I'm about ready to write? Would I say face to face with people I love the thing I'm about ready to type out? The hilarious joke that half the people in the world are going to be offended at. Right? These are some questions to ask yourself. Is something humorous, am I posting something humorous at another person or a group of people's expense? Now, we just went through an election. So many times I would see a political joke that I thought was hilarious. I mean, burst out laughing. But, well, if I post that, I've got about 30% of my friends who will feel ostracized. Not worth it. Because did I really convince anyone? Am I really you know, winning someone over to truth? No, I they are just feeling mocked. They're just feeling mocked. And so when we're putting something on our Facebook, is something humorous at another person or group of people's expense? Will your post hinder your ability to now preach the gospel to someone who's going to read it? Is what you post now, you're going to see that a person that is a friend of yours on Facebook at the grocery store and they can't receive Christ from you because you needlessly offended them, you know. Like I said, it's okay. It's okay to post things that are, it's okay to say things that are truthful that people don't agree with. How do we say it though? How do we say it? How do we go about doing it and saying, is this the wisest way right now at this moment? Is this how I should word this? Is this? I posted a few political articles throughout, but I would read them and reread them and make sure they're so respectful and go, okay, I think this is so respectful. I'm going to post this because it does represent my heart. And I do want someone to read this. I think this could actually make a difference. Okay. Are you excluding people through what you post? Consider the source of the news that you're reading, you're watching, that you're reposting. Okay, I'm just going to say it right here. I completely avoid anything that's sensational in nature when it comes to the news. It's like there are so many news sources that are way far right and they're way far left. And even if the thing that I'm a conservative, even if the thing that's far right, you know, really is what I believe. It's saying something that I believe, but it's so sensational. And the news source is like how they make their living is through shock and awe and outrage. I am not going to use that as my news source. I mean, we should be very alarmed by media sources that get their ratings from shock and awe and outrage. Do you know what I mean? Because almost always they're not really 100% truthful. Even if they say some good points. Do you know what I'm saying? Even if they're saying abortion is wrong. Do I believe abortion is wrong? Absolutely. But they're willing to go to any extent to say anything to prove that. I'm like, I'm not going to partner with sensationalism. Okay. This is just a side point. I just encourage you. This is totally bunny trail, but I just encourage you to avoid giving yourself to conspiracy theories, giving yourself to, I don't know, sensational news. It feels like a lot of times that can just lead to really getting our eyes off of Christ. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know, you know, it's like, the government, this is a big conspiracy over here, and there's another big conspiracy. I think there are conspiracies out there. Are there things that are happening under the surface? Obviously, but if you're someone that just feels sucked into every conspiracy theory and you love researching all the things that are, you know, happening under the surface, all the ways we're being lied to, and you know, I've heard some crazy ones. I mean, crazy ones. I don't want to repeat it. I was going to say it, but I'm not going to say it. The most craziest one of all came to my mind. I'm not going to say it. I don't want to repeat it. All right. But we're to be peacemakers that operate in love. And love actually looks like something. It looks like something in everyday life. I don't know how many of you are friends with Pastor Dallas McKinley of River Center Church. I hope all of you are or will be. And if you are ever on Facebook with him, I feel like he is the master at navigating through very, very dicey situations and operating as a peacemaker, yet, wow, truth coming out left and right. Sometimes I'm like, I'm looking at his posts and I'm looking at his responses and I'm like, that is brilliant. Like, I would have just said, you are wrong. That's crazy. I don't even usually comment on those kind where people are just like way off base and they're saying crazy, crazy. And he's like, I can see your point. I wonder about this though and this. And I'm like, he's a genius at this. He just like brought in the truth bomb and gave it in this beautiful little package that they would love to open and just devour. Love, love, love. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Peacemakers are patient. A peacemaker is kind. Love is not jealous. A peacemaker is not jealous. They're not boastful. They're not proud. They're not rude. They don't demand their own way. They're not irritable. They keep no record of wrong. They do not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, neither does a peacemaker. They never lose faith. They're always hopeful. They endure through every circumstance. Okay, I want to give you some examples. Being a peace, another way that we're a peacemaker is we are a peacemaker between other people that we have nothing to do with. The Lord will use us to be a peacemaker between other people. Several times, many times actually, I've had a friend who's had severe marital problems. I had the blessing of walking through several disastrous marriage situations and seeing them restored. That is so fun and so agonizing. Woo, so agonizing and so fun. You know, I am thinking of one situation where the couple was separated, and they were having all kinds of problems. And they were separated, so they were really heading for divorce. And they were both saying the D word. They were both saying this is heading towards divorce. And I remember meeting with this with the wife on a regular basis, and I meet with her. You know, I listened to her. I mean, she had a lot of heartache. I was listening to her heartache, but I'd also, whatever possible, say, I just think it's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. Your marriage is worth fighting for. What can I do for you to help you, strengthen you to fight for your marriage? How can I pray for you for restoration? What needs to happen so that you can have restoration? And one day she told me, she said, you are the only friend I have in this whole process that has ever encouraged me to stay with my husband. I was like, are you kidding me? She says, every friend I have, and she worked in a business here in town and had a lot of friends, and she says, every single one of them are saying, you deserve better. I wouldn't let him treat me like that. I mean, here they are thinking they're being good friends, right? And they're saying, oh girl, I'd kick him to the curb so fast. You could do better than that. You know, there's somebody else better out there for you. And I'm like, I am horrified. And she even names some believers who are telling her this. And I was like, ah. And let's be clear. They were having problems, but both of them were still being faithful to each other. I mean, they were like, it was not like the other person ran away with someone else. There was no hope and they want a divorce. I mean, it was like, yes, this is rocky. And I mean, time after time, she says, I meet with you. I meet with you regularly because you're the only person who's fighting for my marriage. Wow. Sometimes I don't even think she was fighting for her marriage, to be honest, at first. But you know what? They're still married today. Years and years later, they are still married today. That has happened to me so many times. Do you want to know what a true friend does? A true friend rises up as a peacemaker and says, I will fight with you for your marriage covenant. I will fight for you for this covenant that you made underneath God. I will stand with you. I will do my very best to see the best in that other person, to see the best in you, to sympathize and empathize with you, but also to turn this thing to go, how can we make peace? How can there be restoration? How can there be reconciliation? Do you know this is everyday life? I mean, sometimes we're going through situations where people are actually separated and you're getting to be part of that process of reconciliation. But how many times in a workplace do you have two people who are at odds with each other? And when one of them comes to talk to you, you can right then step into the role of a peacemaker, or you can step into the role of a people pleaser. Here, just tell me all your troubles. I can't believe she'd say that to you. And oh, you know what? She said the same thing to me. Oh, that's the hardest one, is when the person they're offended with has offended you too. And you're thinking on the inside, oh, I have some stories and I want to share them so bad. Because that person is so difficult. That person does offend lots of people and blah, 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 blah. But I mean, right then, this is everyday life. Do you want to look like your daddy in heaven? Yes. Keep your mouth shut. Step into the role of a peacemaker. Say, that was wrong. That was not right that person said that to you. But you know, maybe they're going through a hard day. You know, not all of us were given the same people skills in life. Not all of us, I mean, honestly, sometimes one word can diffuse an entire situation. One word can diffuse strife in your workplace. One word can diffuse strife between your children. And that's the next one, number three. You are anointed to be a peacemaker in your family. This is where we're tested and tried the most, isn't our family, isn't it? Marriage is God's idea. It's such a good idea. And it is partially his idea to refine us. Really, to help us develop all of our character on the inside. And although it's fun and it's beautiful, it's also this opportunity to take advantage of each other, your family is who you say things to that you wouldn't say to anybody else half the time. Why? I don't know, but it's who you're comfortable with. And we have an anointing from the Holy Spirit to step into the role of a peacemaker in our home. I'll give you a real life example. Kids were little, younger, and this happened multiple times. That Malachi or Abigail would come home and they would be really upset because they were accused by a teacher on the playground of doing something that they didn't do, okay? So the teacher got on to them about something, you know, hollered at them, quit doing this, blah, 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 you know, and they're like, I wasn't doing that. And the, you know, teacher's like, maybe even said, don't lie to me. And they're really offended. I didn't lie. I'm telling the truth. I did not do the thing you told me to do. And so they come home and they're all riled up. They're offended. They're mad. They're falsely accused, which is difficult, right? Let's put ourselves, shrink us down. It's hard on us now to be falsely accused. It's really hard on kids too to be falsely accused. And so, you know, many times I would listen to my kids. I say, okay, you know, that didn't feel very good. I'm so sorry. I mean, they need sympathy. They need some empathy. That sounds like what you're telling me, if what you're telling me is true, and I believe you, that probably really hurt your feelings. That's really frustrating. I'm really sorry that happened. And I would look at Malachi and I would say, you know, I wonder if it's hard for one teacher to watch 100 children on the playground. Right? I wonder if you had to watch 100 kids on the playground, if you would see and hear everything perfectly. I wonder if it's possible that sometimes you would think you saw something and it was wrong, or thought you heard one person say something and really it was another person that said something. And what have I done right there? I have told him, I really am sorry this happened, honey. It's true. That was wrong. But I've also stepped into this role of a peacemaker instead of don't you worry. I am going to be on that teacher's doorstep in the morning. Mama Bear will fight this battle for you. Yes. The mama bear can come up in me pretty easily, actually. So, but you know, it's like, okay, you judge which battles are a mama bear supposed to fight. This one is not worthy of mama bear stepping in, right? And the poor teacher getting a visit from me over her making a wrong call on the playground. But peacemaking is everyday life. So I'm stepping into the best of my ability and say, honey, why don't we forgive her right now? Let's pray and just let her go. I said, why don't you give some time? You think on it for a few minutes. When you're ready, why don't you come back? We'll pray together. Let him work through it. I mean, this is kind of a side note, but there were different times when we had to go talk to teachers throughout the years. We never, ever talked bad about a teacher in front of our children, even if a situation needed to be dealt with. And never would we tell our children, we're going to visit the teacher and then come back and tell them what the teacher and I said to each other. I mean, that is, you are setting your children up to disrespect that teacher for the rest of the year. And you have just not been a peacemaker. Even though a situation needed to be dealt with, you have now made it difficult for your child to be under the shepherding and under the authority of that teacher. There's some teachers in this room. You're going to appreciate that I said that. So being a peacemaker doesn't mean that you never go and talk to your kids' teacher, but it does mean, how do you handle it at home? How are you talking to your kids about it? How are you, you know, there's hardly a teacher out there that's not doing their best, right? They're doing their best. That's what often I would tell my kids, you know what, that teacher, she made a wrong call, but I bet you she was doing her best. I bet you she wants to do a good job. I bet you she does a good job 95% of the time. You know? Okay. Peacemaker in your family. You get to be really good at this if you have a lot of kids. I bet Shannon's the best peacemaker ever. Number four, area of life that you can be anointed to be a peacemaker in. You are a peacemaker when you're relating, you're anointed to be a peacemaker by the Lord, when you're relating to people who are lost and who are very different than you. I want to tell you what I mean. I have this situation that I have thought about often. I have a number of people in my life, a handful, who are passionately vegan or vegetarian. I don't know if anyone else in this room is vegan or vegetarian. It's fine by me. I am a passionate carnivore. I come from a long line of passionate carnivores. We're gun-toting, deer-hunting, venison-loving, pheasant-eating family, the McKinleys. South Dakota, born and raised, fourth generation, okay? All right, so, you know, sometimes when I'm in a circle of people who are passionately vegan or vegetarian because their conviction is they don't feel it's right to harm an animal, okay? So, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that. I feel like the Lord at the time after the flood to Noah and to those afterwards, the Lord gave animals to eat, okay? But it's not like I take pleasure in killing. I mean, it's not like, oh, look at that beautiful deer. I just can't wait to kill it or something like that. I mean, I don't feel like we should take pleasure in the death of an animal. You know, so I understand compassionate hearts who don't, you know, who don't want to kill any living thing, okay? I'm just saying, I don't, that's not where my conviction is, but I understand that. So among South Dakotans who are passionate carnivores, sometimes there can be a little disdain or disrespect, maybe, for someone who's a passionate vegan. And if I have a passionate vegan over at my house, I'm going to, on purpose, offer some vegan dishes to them. And if I have a passionate vegan at my house, I'm going to, on purpose, I am not going to bring out the photo albums of Malachi's first trophy deer. Now, I'm not ashamed that I eat meat. I don't feel like I need to change my lifestyle because somebody else doesn't eat meat. But what is love? What is being a peacemaker at that time? Is it bringing out your gun, polishing it right in front of them, just to kind of go, this is hilarious. Let's see what they do. I actually know somebody who did it. Okay, I'm not making it up. I know him personally. I was like, oh my goodness. I know you think that's funny, but you have just really offended that person. Wow. What is being a peacemaker? I want to preach the gospel to that friend. I want to be willing to lay down my life and certainly my little right to have meat at one meal so I could be a peacemaker that brings them to Christ. That is something, that is everyday life for us. People we don't really agree with, people who carry passions that we can't really relate to, and do we sit back in judgment and kind of make fun of them, roll our eyes, or do we say, you know what, I'm going to lay down my right now, I'm going to lay down my own opinion right now, because really I'd rather operate in a peacemaker and look like my Father. And my Father cares about them. And my Father is more concerned with their heart than their diet. Right? As far as it depends upon me, Romans 12:18 says, as far as it depends upon me, I will live at peace. You know, we went to India on a mission trip one time. And during that time, we had a lot of contact with people from India. Our pastor, when we were in Missouri, was Indian. He'd have Indian ministers come in. We went on a missions trip, took our youth group at the time to a missions trip in New York City, where we were ministering in the Indian churches in the Bronx in New York. And when I was there, I'm in New York City, but all this is Indian, like Indian, everyone's Indian. Not Native American, Indian from India, East Indian. All the women were wearing head coverings and traditional clothes. And I went to my pastor and I'm like, I really think I should put something over my head. I mean, this is not my conviction. I do not believe I have to put something over my head. I do not believe that scripture. I believe that was a cultural thing that was in the Bible. I do not. Something that was happening in that culture of that day, someone that didn't have their head covered was like a prostitute. And so, I mean, if everyone who had their head covered was a prostitute in America, we would be going around with our head covered, wouldn't we? Because we would not be wanting to advertise. Okay, so, but however, I was like, I am so willing. You know what? I want to be a peacemaker in this situation. I want them to be able to receive Christ from me. I'm totally willing to cover my head. And his answer was, no, none of them should be covering their head. I don't want you to. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to cover my head because I'm going to honor you. So I didn't, and it was fine. But the point was, like, totally willing. Let's lay down our rights to operate in love so we can bring people to Christ and so we can restore relationships. So we have a right to then speak into relationships. All right, I'm just going to go through just a few qualities of a peacemaker, and then we're going to pray. Quality of a peacemaker. Number one, you value people over your own rights, I just said. Number two, a peacemaker seeks the long-term blessing rather than the short-term fix. A peacemaker never slanders, gossips, or makes others the butt of a joke. Number four, a peacemaker is willing to speak difficult truth for the long-term good of others. A peacemaker seeks to communicate truth in a way that can be received by others. I don't even know if I gave you this scripture, but in Proverbs it says a gentle answer turns away wrath. How can I speak this now to diffuse the situation? Not to eliminate truth. Speak truth in a way that diffuses the situation. A peacemaker can empathize and sympathize with someone's plight, while then still trying to help them move past it and into freedom. So a peacemaker is not like, get over it. What you're feeling isn't even real. So you're offended? Come on. And you're going to say, well, at least I was a peacemaker. I gave them a piece of truth. A piece of truth that they're not going to be able to chew on. You know, it's like they can't even handle it, you know? It's like, take people where they're at and help us. I mean, isn't that how you want people to treat you? Yeah. To come to you where you're at and help you grow, right? Okay. And a good peacemaker tries to see where someone's coming from and give them grace. And a peacemaker seeks to operate in love and in patience. Okay, this is what I want us to do right now. I want us to, we're going to conclude, I want us to ask the Holy Spirit, is there someone in our life that we need to operate as a peacemaker to them? Is there a situation? Is there, do you have two friends who are having a difficult time? Is there a situation happening in your workplace? Is there someone in your own life that you know that the relationship is strained? There's a problem there. Something's not right. Maybe big, maybe small under the surface. And the question I want us to ask the Lord is, as far as it depends upon me, okay, Lord, is there something I am to do to help this situation be better? Who's the person? What's the situation? And what can I do to help bring peace into the situation with someone else, the situation of my own? Let's close our eyes right now. And maybe, Alex, if you could find something kind of soft to put on in the background. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, right now, I'm just asking you to show us, Lord. We want to be that blessed person that looks just like our Father because we operate in the spirit of a peacemaker. So, Lord, we ask you to bring to us, bring to our mind, Lord, people, a group of people, a person that we need to operate as a peacemaker to. Situation in our own life, a situation at work, within our family structure. And Lord, I pray that you would highlight someone to us, Lord. And then, God, we're asking you to show us what to do, Holy Spirit. What are we to do in this moment to help bring peace into our world, Lord? Into our circle of influence, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just give ourselves a moment in the presence of the Lord just to have him impress a few things in our mind and our heart. Let's stand up right now. I'm going to just release a couple declarations, and then Felicia's going to come up and end the service. Let's declare a few things of truths from the Word of God over ourselves. I want you to repeat this. Say, I am a peacemaker. I am anointed for peacemaking. I look just like my Father in heaven. I am anointed to speak truth and bring peace. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, just recently, peacemaking looked like this. It just only take a second. I had two acquaintances who were at great odds with each other. And one really, really offended the other person. And they were going to have a meeting and hoping to clear it up. And then later, you know, they had a really good meeting. And then later, I met with one of the people. And they were saying wonderful things now about this other friend. And they didn't even know I knew each other, knew both of them, actually. Both of them did not know that I knew both of them. And so one of them was saying wonderful things about the other one. And so after that meeting, I just contacted that person. I said, I just want to tell you some of the most wonderful things this other person said about you. I just wanted you to know they were singing your praises and they were saying how smart you were and they were saying how capable you were and how you were accomplishing this and getting this done. And they were actually using you as an example to me of some things that, ways that I could do some things differently. I mean, it was like, and I think it was just like, are you kidding me? I mean, it was like, it was literally neither of them even knew that I knew both of them. And now peace just increased in the entire relationship. And I was like, awesome. Thank you, God. I felt so good. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Keep it going. Keep bringing peace between these people, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're anointed to be a peacemaker. Come on up, Felicia. Felicia's got an anointed dismissal for us. Blessing.
Thank you, Autumn. That was awesome. All right, I'm just going to pray a blessing, speak a blessing over you before we leave. In Numbers 6, 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, so that they will put my name on the Israelites and will bless them. So, Lord, I just pray over this church this morning, God, and I ask that you would anoint them as they leave, God, that they would shine, that you would shine on this place, God, and that they would leave this place as peacemakers, and that they would love on others. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You guys are dismissed. Have a good day.